episode 247.
It will come down to a discussion of freedom. Right. So in order to get 100 million vehicles off the road, someone's going to have to come and take a vehicle away from you because you're not going to voluntarily give it up. So that's a discussion of freedom. And that will be an interesting debate.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, aftermarketers, you are listening to the Remarkable Results Radio podcast with Carm Capriotto. It's the place where the big interviews bring you ideas, insights, and trends from your industry colleagues. In this episode, you'll hear from Derek Kaufman as he rethinks a report from RethinkX that's titled Rethinking Transportation 2020 to 2030. Now, if you earn your living in the auto care industry, this is a must listen. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus for serious technical training and support. Online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageguru.com. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the Town Hall Academy podcasts. Every live video forum has been repurposed as a podcast. Find them on your listening portal or on the Remarkable Results Radio website. Think about it. Three or four of your industry colleagues get together every Friday at 12 noon Eastern and discuss a topic that is near and dear to their heart. Nothing like hearing from a person who's passionate about the topic. And since starting in January 2017, there's so many lessons to listen to, one per week. And I guarantee you'll learn something. No, you'll learn more than just one thing. Now, even our show guests say they learned a lot while even being a participant on the forum. It's simple to find the audio and video academy replays. Just go to remarkableresults.biz/academy. You know, it's such a privilege to bring these in-depth interviews to the aftermarket. And if you're a perpetual student, always learning, reading, and listening to your industry colleagues, you've found that the podcast is the fuel to ignite a desire and passion within you that improves your world incrementally each day. It's an honor to bring you the wisdom each and every week. I'd like to welcome new Facebook friends, Gary Armando, Fred Modrick, and Oscar Erdilesen, and new LinkedIn connections, Christy Barta, Gilberto Lopez, and Nathan Aukman. Thanks for the connections, and you can find every connection link at remarkableresults.biz/social. Now, clear your mind and listen to Derek Kaufman, managing partner at Schwartz Advisors with the view of the next 20 years. What spurred this interview was an article Derek wrote in response to a report from RethinkX on Rethinking Transportation 2020 through 2030. Derek Kaufman was with me in a previous episode on business model transformations. Now, if you haven't listened to that interview, you owe it to yourself. It's episode 215. Derek started to put a pencil to the forecasts that were detailed in the RethinkX report. He had some problems with the numbers and is sharing his view in his Rethink and also motivating you to think about the ramifications of future technologies and the disruptions that the autonomous vehicle will have on our business and society. We talk TaaS, Transportation as a Service, ride sharing. Also, the mix in model types to electric vehicles and hybrids versus the internal combustion engine, the need for less vehicles in urban settings, and the overall adoption rates of these new disruptors. He brings some powerful data to the forefront so you can get an idea of the impact that AVs will have on the changing car park, our lifestyles, and the auto care industry. Now, if you want to stay connected and in the know as the future unfolds, you've come to the right episode. See the show notes page with Derek's bio, the episode talking points, and an acronym listing. Go to remarkableresults.biz/E247. Now here we go with Derek Kaufman. Hey, it's nice to welcome Derek Kaufman from Schwartz Advisors for the second time to the podcast. Derek Kaufman is the managing partner at Schwartz Advisors, LLC, and the president of C3 Network. Now, Derek and I were together in episode 215 as we talked about one of his favorite acronyms, BMT, Business Model Transformation. And that was a can't-miss episode, no matter your role in the aftermarket. And Derek, thank you for that episode. It was just great. Thank you for all that, the insights from there. And so you're back with us. You're back with us because you recently wrote an article about the predictions from a group called Rethink, and they're out in the Bay Area, and they predict some pretty strong things relative to the autonomous cars and the future of American highways. It's an article that's been picked up by a lot of news outlets.
Yeah, that's right. You can actually find the report at rethinkx.com. The basic premise of the article is that by 2030, and that's within 10 years of regulatory approval of autonomous vehicles, what they're saying is that 95% of all U.S. passenger miles traveled will be served by autonomous electric drive vehicles, and they'll be owned by fleets, not individuals, and they'll be operated in what they call a transportation as a service business model, or TaaS, same as SaaS software.
Yeah, you know, it's another acronym we all have to learn, TaaS. Thanks for sending me the link, 77-page report, unbelievable. And I read in the report that they're forecasting that the number of passenger vehicles on American roads will drop from 247 million to 44 million. And that nearly 100 million existing vehicles are going to be abandoned as they become economically unviable?
Well, right. And that's exactly what the report is saying. Essentially, their premise is that the car ownership will become a thing of the past. And basically for two reasons. The first one is the cost of owning a car, which they estimate at $9,000 a year. And the second is the whole issue of safety. So over 35,000 people die on American roads each year. And the Rethink X people are saying that replacing people with autonomous cars is the only way to solve that problem.
I was at a party last night. Someone brought the whole concept up to me, and we chatted a little bit about this report and where I saw the future going and where they think the future is going. And the older people want that security of their vehicle, and the younger people said, we maybe need to rethink this. So interesting. The Rethink X page quotes someone from the Motley Fool investor website as saying, quote, "I'm convinced that I and you will probably never buy another car again, ever," unquote.
Yeah, I read that, and that's why I wrote in the article. I said, well, that's enough to make me want to can some peas and head for the shelter.
Derek, by you just saying that, I guess you haven't bought this article at face value, but you put some time into thinking about where these numbers fit and how viable or real they are.
Yeah, the article goes on and on, Carm, about the research they've done. Being in the aftermarket for my whole career, you know, we know the numbers of the aftermarket, 270 million. They say 247. It's actually 270 million, over 270 million cars on the roads today. We're currently selling about 17 million new vehicles into the market. And our scrappage rates have actually come down because cars last longer now. They've built a better quality. So our scrap rates have come down from over 5% a year to about 4.2. So we're putting 17 million cars in and we're taking 11 million out, which means that 270 is growing every year.
The report says that a lot of those need to be scrapped, like over 100 million cars.
Yeah, essentially, they're saying that, you know, with 44 million cars, we can handle all of the miles traveled requirements in the United States. So that forced me, as I read the article, to go back to some cash for clunkers statistics. And you know, that was back in 2009. And I think the numbers are, as I've looked it up, 690,000 vehicles were removed from American roads, and it cost American taxpayers about $3 billion to do that. There's some debate on cash for clunkers on what it really did. I think it took a lot of affordable vehicles and perfectly serviceable vehicles, you know, out of the ownership of people who can't afford a new vehicle. And it really didn't spur the sales of new vehicles as advertised. So, you know, by reducing the vehicles in operation by 690,000, if that costs $3 billion, then $100 million would cost us over $400 billion. And I just don't think that's a, you know, that's a viable number.
I sit here in awe of that challenge. But to get down to 44 million autonomous cars handling 95% of our travel needs, you'd need to sharply reduce new car sales as well. And I can't help but think of, you know, they talked about the economic impact, but, you know, from just a layperson's perspective, that's a lot of jobs.
Yeah, it really is. And so we're putting 17 million in, we're taking 11 million out. So you can't simply basically take cars away from people. You have to curtail the sale of new cars into the market. So they're forecasting a 70% drop in new car sales in this report. That's about a $12 million vehicle per year reduction. So go to the Auto Alliance website, and you'll see that they estimate that auto manufacturing injects about almost $1 trillion, $953 billion, into the U.S. economy every year, and that 7.25 million people owe their jobs to the automotive industry. They show that 45 states, I think, have more than 10,000 jobs related to the auto industry. So, you know, cutting that employment by 70%, their RethinkX estimate yields about 5 million lost jobs. And, you know, that's really something to think through.
I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Hey, Bud, what's the best thing about the Guru on the Go van?
Yeah, I think that the best thing about the van and the kind of the mission is it's twofold. One is ultimately to bring brand awareness of the Federal Mogul portfolio. But I think the way that we do that is we bring value to the technician, the shop owner. And how we do that is we bring technical content, we bring some updated material. And once they see that I care about their operation, their reputation, and their qualifications, one, they're built up, but two, they really at that point listen to what I have to say about the brands, and it's built, the relationship is built on a mutual benefit.
So you bring technical stuff and you bring product specific.
Yeah, me personally, I'm super technical background. So anytime I'm doing a lunch and learn or a van visit, a training session, it's typically 90% technical, 10% product.
Any new MOOG products that are getting good reviews?
Yeah, one that's recently released is the Dodge Ram 25 and 3500 complete steering assembly. It's inner and outer tie rod ends and drag link pre-assembled. This is the first aftermarket part that's available in a complete assembly for this application. And the specific applications, late model Dodge Rams, are actually a kind of a high failure part on the chassis parts.
What about the compression-loaded ball joints with pre-installed integral dust boot?
Yeah, the integral dust boot has been a huge hit. Initially, the idea was, well, where is the boot? And then once you kind of get around and show people, they're like, well, that is the best idea I've ever seen, because I've torn so many boots on installation, or I've had a boot that's not seated properly. And they're like, well, that's just not an issue now. And they love it.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the Gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. I know you're a statistic kind of guy, but I don't believe you just stopped there. I bet you dug deeper.
I got lost in this one, Grammer. I really did. So I
well,
started.
Listen, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to see if I can keep up with you.
Okay. I just started doing the math of 270 million cars in operation. Basically, vehicle miles traveled today are right around 3.2 trillion miles. That means that each vehicle averages about 12,000 miles a year. So if you go to their forecast, and what they're saying is, and we agree with their forecast that autonomous vehicles will actually increase the vehicle miles traveled. They're saying that it goes from 3.2 to 6 trillion miles. I'll come back to that a little bit later. But by saying that 5%, only 5% of the 6 trillion miles will be handled by internal combustion engines vehicles that are, as they say, individually owned.
Well, wait a minute, and that's a new—it's a new acronym. In fact, let me do this for you. I'd like to tell the audience that in the show notes page of this episode, I'll put these acronyms down there. So if you want to get free and loose and say IOICE, people are going to say, "What the heck is that?" So that's individually owned internal combustion engine.
Right. Wow. Right. Pretty soon the acronyms are a full sentence long, but basically they're saying that 5% of 6 trillion miles will be handled by the vehicles that we own today. And that's about 300 billion miles. If you divide that by the 12,000 miles per year that they travel, you get about 25 million of those vehicles on the road. The rest of them, remember now there are 270 million cars on the road. So they're saying only 44 million are needed for the future of travel.
But when you actually do the real math based on the what people are driving, you're really saying that their 44 million number is really 25 million cars or vehicles?
Yeah. Right, because it's really 19. So the 44 minus the 25 million ICE engine cars is 19 million electric drive AVs, right? And they're traveling about 300,000 miles a year per car to cover the 5.7 trillion mile travel that they're estimating. So here's where the thing begins to fall apart. Because RethinkX says that AVs are 10 times more efficient than individually owned cars. And that's probably true because your individually owned car sits in your driveway a high percentage of the time, like 95 or 6% of the time. So what they're saying is that they're estimating that your car sits around or is only used 4% of the time. So that AVs will be used 40% of the time. So 4% of the time for an individually owned car is about 350 hours a year. So they say their AVs are 10 times better. That's 3,504 hours a year. And they're going to do 300,000 miles each in their report. So you do all that math and you say, well, these cars are traveling around at 85, almost 90 miles an hour.
So
that doesn't work. So you have to scratch your head and say, let's come back and say, maybe if you take the 44 million cars and take 40% of the internal combustion estimate, that brings it down to like 17 million vehicles. You get caught up in the numbers, but basically you still come up with the cars going over 60 miles an hour. So their math in the report doesn't work. We understand that autonomous vehicles will travel further. We understand that maybe 300,000 miles a year for an autonomous car is a realistic number. But then you say, well, okay, it has to be on the road, 72% of the time. That says, well, wait, we're going to have a really good maintenance system here. Is very systematically, servicing these cars, which is good for the aftermarket.
Sure it is.
Right. The issue is that it's a business to business model going forward.
It is. And if there's only going to be 44 million, quote unquote, based on that report, you don't need as many service centers, and you need those 24-hour units. You and I talked about this on the last episode where the car would drive itself to get serviced in the morning hours. You'd have to be open 24 hours a day. Interesting business model. But, when I started to ask some people, are you going to start doing shopping, at 10 o'clock at night? Are you going to call the car to get you to go grocery shopping? And you know what they said to me? No, grocery stores are starting to deliver. I don't need the car to go shopping. I'm going to go online and I'm going to order. So I really think that the Internet of Things or online ordering of just about anything you'd ever want in your entire world may be a factor somewhere in there.
Absolutely. And if you think you have to think very big picture here to understand where all this goes. We absolutely understand that autonomous cars will unlock travel for people, for the very old who can't drive cars today, for the very young. So your kids might be taken to their soccer practice while you're at work now, because an autonomous car will come and pick them up and take them there. That's wonderful efficiency. So what the Schwartz Advisors team is saying is that we see vehicle miles traveled actually going from 3.2 to about 4.5 trillion miles as AVs unlock this these transportation alternatives.
The article that came out where Volvo says they're going with all electric. Now, I guess if you read the headline, you say, whoa. But, you know, today you almost got to read deeper in an article to really understand what they mean.
Absolutely. The people who write the articles are not the same people who write the headlines in many, many cases. So the headline writer's job is to grab you and suck you into the article. I get that. But in so doing, so many of the headlines are misleading. So if you read that Volvo article and you get halfway down the article about them going all electric by 2019, you see one word, one operative word in there, and that word is solely. And what it says is their power or their product line will not be solely internal combustion engines by 2019. The article doesn't say they're going to be all electric. It fully opens the door for gas hybrids. And that's, in fact, the way they will go. They'll go gas hybrids and over a period of time move toward electric. But like I say, that word solely means a whole lot in that article. And it can be very misleading to just read the headline and, run on down the road.
Derek, where do you see the impact of AVs?
We think that this will be largely an urban center issue. In other words, this is about cities. So it's, AV taxis or car share programs. It's congestion reduction incentives, those types of things, with AV lanes being established. We get all that. And, we come up with not 95% of travel, of miles traveled, but something closer to, say, 25%. I live on a farm outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I agree with you that I'll probably have food delivered more often, but I can't see calling an AV that'll take 15 minutes to get here to take me 15 minutes to the doctor's office or 15 minutes to a restaurant. Yeah. I'll pay the $9,000 to have that individually owned car sitting here ready. And as I said in the article, one word that they didn't discuss was convenience. And so we think that holds individually owned cars in. We see actually the number of cars going up to over 280 million. And we think that about 4.5 million AVs will travel somewhere in the 250,000 miles a year, running around at an average speed of about 40 miles an hour. So
the AVs of the future, though, you're talking about total electric vehicles. You're talking about internal combustion hybrids, right? It's
yes.
A mix.
We think it's a mix. We know you have to read the headlines here and understand that France is talking about going all electric by 2040. UK just announced this week the same thing. I think Norway has done as well. You take a look at the geography of the United States, and I think it's a tougher situation. Just harder to do. So we don't believe that, we go all electric. We think that hybrids hang in for a long time. But that the combination of AVs and car sharing and all of this probably reduces new car sales. But as I said, in the last dot point of our thought in the article is that individually owned pickup trucks still continue to lead USA sales long into the future.
Pickup trucks, yes, because someone's got to do the work on the farm.
Number one selling car in the United States is the Ford 150, and it's over two times, almost three times the sales of the leading vehicle, which is the Toyota Camry. So, we are... take a look at what people are doing with trucks, SUVs in general, CUVs. It's what is selling in the United States.
It's amazing when you fly over America and you fly over a lake and you look at a marina and you look at the number of boats that are there and you think or you know that how'd the boat get there? And, you know, okay, I guess there could be a transportation as a service to haul your boat. Oh, hey, honey, it ends up being a beautiful day. The Joneses can go with us. Let's take the boat. Let's go down to the lake. Let's spend the day at the lake. On the way there, let's go shopping. Let's pick up some food, some charcoal. That's freedom. That's convenience. And yeah, there may be, I mean, I can't imagine that the new generations, Derek, are going to give up freedom and convenience that, you know, we have so become so used to by having that vehicle in the garage ready to go.
Yeah, you know, we don't want to stick our head in the sand here. You know, you have the argument, and, you know, somebody said to me the other day, well, you know, you're going to be the buggy whip salesman in the future, right? Right, the horseless carriage replaced the horse, and the people are, you know, were selling horses at the time and said it'll never happen. I get that. Oh, yeah. I get that. But I just think the demographics here, the geography, the amount of space that we cover doesn't lend itself to these predictions. And the predictions tend to come out of the, not to single out an area, but this is a Bay Area group. It's a software-oriented society out there. You know, it is the home delivery society out there. I get that, and you know, we don't have blinders on here. A lot of this will convert.
Right.
Understand it, but not 95%.
It goes back to the last episode we did, Derek, in episode 215, is we were talking about these different business models and the investments that the car companies are going to be making in some of these companies. Where are we going to put our vehicles if our vehicles are going to start serving the public?
Well, right. And you've seen that Apple and Google have both made moves with large rental companies, Avis and Hertz. And I can never remember which was which.
Yeah.
Apple went with Hertz. And
I think that's
Google
right.
Avis. But yeah, so that makes sense, right? That you have this infrastructure already in place to handle all the rental cars. So they might be a great platform for autonomous vehicles, and they don't want to go away. So that makes sense.
Can you imagine being Hertz or Avis or Enterprise years ago starting this company and not realizing that the entire world would change, that would make what you do so relevant in the future? Because they could be an autonomous base.
Yeah.
Because,
absolutely.
Because they know how to do it.
Right. They have the infrastructure in place, and they know exactly right. They know how to do it. And it's, you know, it's a matter of the geographies now. They're positioned at airports and, you know, other urban centers. How do they handle the small towns and those types of things? But that platform is a lot better starting place than from scratch.
Well, thank you for crunching these numbers. If anyone could have done it, you could have done it. And, you know,
I'm not sure that's true, but
well, you know, I think you brought some reality about, you know, how fast does the car have to go in order to cover the miles that they claim we do drive if the vehicles are less. And, but yeah, I think things are going to change. I'm accepting the fact that, world's going to be different, maybe not as aggressively as the report says, as far as the timeline.
It will come down to a discussion of freedom, right? So in order to get 100 million vehicles off the road, someone's going to have to come and take a vehicle away from you because you're not going to voluntarily give it up. So that's a discussion of freedom, and that will be an interesting debate.
And, you know, if I was an urbaner, and, you know, I get what you're saying, I'm in a high rise, I really don't need a vehicle, and I'm learning my lifestyle. I figured out how to get around and do what I have to do, how to get to the airport, how to rent a car, how to find a taxi, now get an Uber. But like you, I'm in the country, and the next closest town's 8 miles away, and I can't imagine where I could get an Uber to come and find me, especially when the urge... You know, sometimes I'm done with an episode or two in an interview, and I got to go to the bank, and I may go at a completely different time than I called for my ride.
Not to mention you're sitting hip deep in snow half the year, so
you always got to get that snow thing in there.
Sorry.
Well, thank you so much for the enlightenment. I really do appreciate it. Another well-written article and some great sage Wise words. Derek Kaufman, managing partner at Schwartz Advisors and the president of C3 Network. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carm. Good being with you.
Hey, aftermarketers, thank you for joining us. Another great interview for the archives from Derek Kaufman, managing partner at Schwartz Advisors. Catch Derek's bio and see the show's talking points at the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E247. Think about this interview. Not only are we bringing you service professional entrepreneurs, technicians, business coaches, married couple interviews, and educators, we have some of the best industry thought leaders sharing their view on our opportunities and challenges in the road ahead. I'm happy to bring you this wide range of industry leaders to you, and I'm grateful and thankful for your support.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time,